To be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us this morning as we study your word. May your Holy Spirit guide us and inspire us so that we may learn from you this morning according to your will. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Advent is the beginning of the new church calendar, the new church year, in the Western Church anyway, not so in the Eastern Church. This is a time when announcements are made. It's a time of preparation, a time of looking forward to the birth of Christ, the celebration of Christmas, and actually also to the second coming of Christ. Now we read today about the first stage of the story when Gabriel visits Mary and tells her that she is to be the mother to a very special child. Now, as Andy said, this is quite a bit of news. It's quite big news, isn't it? After hundreds of years of silence, imagine nothing happens. You get into the routine of thinking, yes, you know, we believe in the second coming. You know, Christ is going to come again. Nothing happens, and then one day it happens. What do we do? It'll be similar to for us, won't it? Really. Now, this, of course, naturally takes her by surprise, and she is troubled, we're told. Surprise and shock seems to be the theme of this week, in many ways. We had the snow, which we all expected, but when it came, it was rather more intense than we thought. And if you've been a commuter, like I have been, it's been pretty tough this week. I was stuck in London on Tuesday and couldn't get home, but thankfully Anne-Marie was in London, so I was able to get to her, but about 4 hours late. But others were stuck up to 15 hours on the trains, I believe. It's a horrific experience. It's terrible. But that's the beginning of the week. And, of course, now the surprise to see all the snow disappear. You know, it's gone as quickly as it's come, hasn't it? It's amazing. Other shocks this week, I'm sure you're familiar with. You know, England not getting the 2018 World Cup, Football Cup World Cup. I think the shock is not so much that England didn't get it as the way it was done, which I think a lot of us are very upset about, I'm sure. that's one thing. Another, perhaps a nicer thing, is the cricket. You know, how well it's going. It's amazing. Oh, all right, England hasn't won yet, and the second test is only at the end of day three, but it's looking really exciting, isn't it? Great. Another great... it's not a surprise, but certainly it's a great thing. It's a surprise. It's a surprise. Well, I didn't quite want to say that, but you never expect England to do that well, but wow, it's great. Well, Mary's news is a big surprise as well. It's very private news, isn't it? Only she receives the news, and it's going to transform her life. She's going to have to face her husband-to-be, Joseph, their families and their community. How is she going to explain all this? Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel, we're told, in verse 28, and who says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." She wonders. She wonders why she has been picked. The angel then adds, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel repeats that Mary has found favor with God. Now here's a young woman looking forward to a big change in her life. It's probably not so, I don't know how we would feel, but certainly in the Eastern cultures, it's a very big thing, isn't it? I'm not saying it isn't here, but about getting married. But there is a young woman, or possibly a teenager, who has been betrothed to marry someone else. She knows that she's going to leave her childhood behind. She's going to become a married woman in another person's household. So that's a big transformation for her. So she's going with a certain credibility, a certain reputation, and she's got something awkward to explain here. Mary's concern in this whole conversation at this stage is just that she's a virgin. And how is this going to be? That was her concern. What would Joseph think? What about the families? The rest of the statements, which are amazing, about the son who will be called Jesus, who will be called the Son of the Most High, they're all lost for the moment at this point here. The promises are incredible. Let's go through them again. Firstly, a virgin is to conceive and will give birth. Secondly, the Son will be from God. Thirdly, he will be the promised King of Israel in the line of David. And that recalls a time when Israel was a sovereign nation, hundreds of years earlier. And fourthly, he will be eternal, ruling a kingdom that will never end. Each one of the statements is incredible, but Mary stops with the first, that she is a virgin. To new parents, the birth of a child is a very special moment, of course. The child is a new person who has been created for them, from them. This is such a special gift. This is as close as we can become to being creators ourselves. Nothing else we do has this same level of creativity. Of course, the parents aren't the creators, but God allows a man and a woman together to enter into his act of creation with the birth of a child. The child who is born is capable of thinking, of loving, of living. And he or she has a spirit capable of knowing God. For both parents, it's a very special moment. But for the mother, it's an especially important time. For Mary, this would have been a special moment. She would have been looking forward to, of course, with her husband-to-be. Now she's called to be a mother of a special child. What was she to do? Mary's body was going to be the home of the infant Jesus until he's born. He will be dependent on her. She was chosen to bear the child born by the power of God. This special child was going to lead Israel, a new kingdom that will never end. What a responsibility. He was to be called Jesus, which means God saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Jesus was going to change the history of the world. God himself was coming into the world to save his creation. He took on a human heritage as he will be from the line of David through his adopted human father, Joseph. Unlike David, though, he will rule forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, in Psalm 110, verse 1, a verse which has been quoted often in the Bible, David was promised the following: "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet." David himself was prophesying about his descendant, who's going to be someone greater than him. Jesus, of course, himself uses this verse when he challenges the Pharisees to define who the Christ was. When the Pharisees confirmed that the Christ would be a descendant of David, Jesus asked how it would be that the descendant of David was called by David himself Lord. David's descendant, the one who would become his ultimate successor, according to God's promise, would be from God himself. The coming of Christ, which means the anointed one, of course, the one chosen by God to lead Israel, was promised from David's time. And that is 1,000 years before Jesus came. And the people had been waiting for him for 1,000 years. Now Mary is told that she will be her son. What a privilege. The event has actually happened. Mary and Joseph, of course, lived in a very small town called Nazareth. This is an insignificant town in the region of Galilee, in northern Israel, a long way from Jerusalem, which is the capital city, and anything important happened in Jerusalem, of course, not Nazareth, not the tiny little village, a long way away from Galilee. If you recall, in the New Testament, we have Nathanael was told by Philip that the Savior, the Messiah, has arrived, and he's from Nazareth, and he says nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But this is so. There is nothing here. Which makes Mary important by human standards, but God chose her, and we can see from her response to the angel Gabriel that she's probably a prayerful woman. Now, otherwise, she wouldn't be in the position she is. And more so, she's not surprised, is she? I mean, when you look at the conversation at the beginning, you don't see her being shocked or terrified. She's just troubled. She's not a powerful woman, but she's a prayerful woman. And the appearance of the angel did not actually shock her. Jesus appears when no one is expecting him. When the wise men heard, in another story, of course, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, when the wise men visited Herod looking for the king, Herod himself consulted the chief priests and teachers of the law, and they quoted Isaiah, which is written over 500 years earlier. Jesus' arrival was completely unexpected, and it took nearly 30 years again or so for people to notice him for who he was. God blessed Mary with the child who will be the Savior of all mankind. As confirmation of the power of God's word, she was told that her relative, Elizabeth, was going to give birth herself in her old age. And so Mary accepts her destiny and rushes off to see Elizabeth. When she visits Elizabeth, we read in verse 41, even Elizabeth's unborn baby leaped for joy. She then, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. And blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary is blessed among women, blessed because of her faith in what was promised, and blessed because of the child she bears. Mary's faith makes her a very special woman. She would have faced a lot of difficulties as a pregnant, unmarried woman. Mary's response is to worship God, as we see in verses 46 to 56. This great hymn, of course, is used by the church, and it's called the Magnificat. Our challenge today is to be awestruck, to be amazed equally by the birth that we're going to be celebrating in a few weeks' time, of the coming of God into our world, taking on human form, and dying for all mankind. There's nothing in the incredible discoveries of science or great achievement of individuals or the new technology we see that compares to the birth of a child. Now, that's a challenge I'm going to put out. The birth of a child is an incredible and amazing act of creation. And nothing, therefore, compares to God sending his son into the world as a child. God is spirit. He became incarnate, that's to say, he took flesh to become a human life like us through Mary. Jesus was sent to be the long-promised one of God. Just as God chose David to rule Israel, the human king of the chosen people, he has chosen Jesus, his own son, to be king of the eternal kingdom of chosen people. As we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We who believe that Jesus Christ died so that we may have eternal life will not perish, but have eternal life. This Advent, we can reflect on the coming of this special child. Our challenge is to live through our experiences of this finite world, watching out for the signs of God's activity in this world, being available, like Mary, to share in his creative work, and looking forward with hope to the promised eternal life. Let's pray.